I haven't seen them, but perhaps some of you have. I've read about them in the newspapers, and I've heard people talk about them. But these shows that are on television that are makeover shows, where they'll make over a person. In other words, they'll come in and change that person's appearance, cut their hair, buy them new clothes, change their makeup. And then I've heard about one where they come into your house and they make over a room. They'll take a room and they'll completely redecorate it. And then I heard that they expanded and they come and make over your entire house. Okay? And then I heard, I read last week, that, and maybe a couple weeks ago in the paper, that they now have one where they're going to make over an entire town. Just come and change everything in the town. And I say that by way of introduction because I'm glad tonight that God is not in the makeover business. Amen. I'm glad tonight that God is not in the fix-it-up business. I'm glad tonight that God is in the making new business. Our text verse tonight is going to be from that first verse that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Jesus said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, that same thing, "I make all things new." Now, I want to give you a couple illustrations of what I'm talking about tonight, and I've got good news and bad news tonight. The good news is my message is only about 3 minutes long. The bad news is I have a very long introduction to get to the message. But marriage is a good illustration, I think, of what God's trying to say in that verse. And here's what I mean by that. Marriage is not repairing or fixing up of the single life. I mean, that's not what it is. In fact, if you go into marriage hanging on to the single life, you're going to have a lot of struggles in your marriage. And some of you that have been married for a while, if you can think back to when you first got married, you may know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you that are looking forward to getting married, you need to pay attention. When you get, and there's only one couple here that applies to, but when you get married, getting married is not God trying to repair or fix up the single life. In fact, you can talk to the people that are married, and you'll find that if their spouse tried to hang on to what they did in the single life, they had a lot of trouble getting started. No, getting married is not fixing up something that's old. Getting married is introducing something into your life that's new. A new relationship. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And so what God was saying is I'm going to take something that's not good, man being alone, and I'm going to make something new. I'm going to make something better. I'm going to make marriage. And in the Bible, marriage is used by God as a symbol or a type for salvation. The husband represents God. The wife represents the church or represents Christians. We're the bride of Christ. And tonight, by way of introduction, I want to tell you that Christianity is not God fixing up the old man. Christianity is God replacing the old man with a new man. Now, and let's stick with Christianity because you can't say that about marriage, okay? It's not you that have been married for a while. I said, I wish God would do that to my marriage. I wish he'd take this old man and give me a new one. That's the analogy stops there, folks. I'm talking about Christianity now where God says, look, I'm not going to fix up the old man. I'm going to create a new man within you. And tonight, if you can just grab this one little truth, that Christianity is the process of losing or leaving the old man so that that new man can emerge and come into manhood. See, so many Christians think that Christianity is God working on that old man and fixing him up. And if we're not careful, if we think like that, if we don't understand that God's not in the fixing up business, he's in the making new business, what we do is we try to hang on to that old man. We don't let him go. And the truth is, the new man can't emerge until the old man dies. Now, I want to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. I want to give you some examples that show you that God is not in the fixing up, making over, repair business. He's in the business of making new. Let me tell you tonight that God is not in the business of fixing up the earth that we live on. The earth that we live on is rotting and decaying. We've done our part to help it along. We polluted the air. We polluted the water. We polluted the land. Leonard was talking about it this morning in his Sunday school class. If you have a well, you're always worried about what the water's going to taste like because you don't know which way it flows. Is it flowing from the dump or away from the dump? So you don't think I listen, but I listen. And we're using up the earth's natural resources. And don't think as some, I can't remember what they call them, some of these people that think, boy, if we could just turn things around, if we could start living responsibly, if we could begin to recycle and we could fix up this earth and God will help us make it better. No, this world is decaying, this world is rotting, and it's not going to get any better. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." That's what the Bible says is going to happen to the heavens and the earth. God is not in the process of fixing this rotting, decaying earth, but he is in the business of making new. In that same chapter of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth." Peter says, hey, we've got the promise from God. He's not going to fix up this old earth. We're going to get a new one. A new heaven and a new earth. And in the book of Revelation, John, as he looked forward, as God let him look forward in time, John got to see it. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." God's not fixing up this earth. He's making a new one. All things shall become new. Another illustration. God's not in the business of fixing up our bodies. Our bodies started to decay the moment we were born. And the older we get, the more we see signs of decay. I mean, I guess the only good thing about it, the older you get, the more our bodies decay, but your eyesight goes so you can't see it as much. But that's what happens. The older we get, our bodies start to decay. Vital organs quit working. Our arteries and our veins get clogged up with all the French fries and other stuff that we eat. Yeah, amen. That's right. Our brain cells die so that we can't remember whether we're coming or going. I was talking to a lady this afternoon. She was right in the middle of a conversation. A blank look came over her face. I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "I can't remember what I was going to say next." I said, "Don't worry about it. It happens to me all the time. You think it's bad now when we're talking. You got to try it when you're preaching. You can't remember what you're going to say next." We sag and sway and totter. Hair grows where we wish it wouldn't grow and doesn't grow where we wish it would. We lose our sight, our hearing, and our strength. And we do everything we can to try to stop it. We do everything we can to try to reverse the aging process. We take vitamins and we exercise and we try to eat right. We use makeup, and we use things to make us smell good, and we wear nice clothes. And by the way, I'm for all that. I think you should do it. In fact, I encourage us to do it. But we will not change the fact that our bodies are decaying, and we won't change the fact that God is not fixing up our bodies. He's making new ones. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?" God's going to give us a new one. A new one. He's not fixing up the old one. He's making us a new one. All things will become new. That's what our text verse says. Old things are passed away. All things are going to become new. New heaven, a new earth, a new body. We're going to get a new name. In Revelation 2:17, the Bible says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written." In Revelation 3:12, "And I will write upon him my new name." You see, the name that we have now is associated with our past. The name that we have now calls to mind everything or what people know about us, what we've done in the past, what acts or what deeds that we've done in our younger days. And God says, "Hey, I'm not going to fix up that old name. I'm not going to go back and wipe out your history. I'm not going to go back and wipe out your past. That's still going to be associated with the name that you have. But and so I'm not going to fix that up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a new name, a name that has no history, a name that has no past." There's a song in our song book that goes like this. "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. The white robe angels sing the story. A sinner has come home." And when that sinner comes home, God says, "Look, I can't undo your past. I can't change what you've done. But I'm going to give you a new name that you can, that's going to be written down in glory. That's not going to have a past. It's not going to have any record. It's a new name. All things become new." The Bible says we also get a new song. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, "And they sang a new song." Revelation 14:3, "And they sang as it were a new song." It's a song that the angels cannot sing. It's a song that those that have never received Christ cannot sing. It's a song that Brother Duane always picks out when we let him pick songs on Wednesday night. And it may not be the exact song, but I think it has the same sentiment. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And the saints that are gathered around the throne of God sing, again, maybe not be that exact song, but a song that has the same sentiment. "I was a sinner, but Christ died for me, and he's put a new song in my mouth to sing about that salvation." We also get new works. New works. Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, what we get in our life when we get saved is we get a new purpose. I mean, we get a new reason for living. We are God's workmanship. God made us. You've heard me say often, God didn't see that you were born and have to come up with a plan for your life. God had a plan for your life before you were born. He had something that he needed to be done, so he made you. And when we come to Christ and when we accept Christ, that verse that I read is right after those verses 8 and 9 in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created unto good works." And when we get saved by grace through faith, God says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a new purpose in life." You may go to the same job tomorrow, the day after you get saved, but you're going to go with a new purpose. You may work on the same line. You may type this at the same typewriter. You may teach the same class, but the day after you got saved, you're going back to a new work because you have a new purpose in life. We get new works. And then, when we get saved, there's a new man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see, let me paint this picture. And again, I'm almost done with my introduction. I'm going to get to my message in just a second. I'm an old man. Stay with me. Don't smile when I say I'm an old man. And this old man that I am is a sinful man. I got my sin nature from my father, who got it from his dad, who got it from his dad, who's got it from his dad. Trace it all the way back, and it goes back to Adam. I got that sin nature from those that went before me. One day, I acted on that sin nature, and I became a sinner. I can't tell you the day. I can't tell you the act. But I know there was some point in my life where I knew the difference between right and wrong, and I chose wrong. I acted on that sin nature that I was born with. And when I acted on that sin nature and made that choice to do wrong, I became a sinner. And all the things that are in the Bible that talk about the acts of the flesh, the works of the devil, in some way or shape or fashion, I've committed those acts. Now, there's things I haven't done. I've never drank. I've never smoked. I've never done some other stuff. But I'm still just as worse as a vile sinner, because the Bible says if we've broken the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And that's the old man that I was before I got saved. I mean, that's who I was. I was a sinner. Just as a wicked a sinner as you can imagine a person could be, that was me. But when I got saved, when I came to Christ, when I trusted him to forgive me of my sins, God didn't come in and say, "Hey, Daryl, I'm going to remake that old man." No, what he did was, he says, "I'm going to make a new man." There's going to be a new person that moves inside of you, and it's going to be one that is not wicked, but it's one that's righteous and holy. Not one made in the image of your earthly father, but one made in the image of God. That's true for every single person in this room tonight that's received Christ. You have an old man, which since you've been born. That old man is a man of sin. That old man is a man of wickedness. And you also, if you've been saved, have a new man living inside of you. Now, many of us say, well, where is he? Where is that new man? I look at in the mirror, I look in my life, and all I see is the old man. That's what Paul was talking about when he says, "Hey, I know to do good, and I don't do it. And I know not to do bad, and I do it anyway." And when he made those statements, he said this, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And he didn't use these words, but what he was saying is, "Who shall deliver me from this old man?" There's a new man that lives inside of me that knows to do good. But the new man can't get out. The old man, he still causes me not to do good. There's a new man that lives inside of me that knows not to do bad. But the old man still causes me to do bad. He says, I'm wretched. I live in this state knowing what I should do, and I can't do it. Who's going to deliver me from this? Who's going to fix up the old man? And God says, "Paul, I'm not in the fixing up the old man business. I put the new man within you." Now, that's my introduction. Now, here's my message. Okay? Here's my message. The new man doesn't emerge until the old man dies. The new man can't be seen, or the new man can't make his presence evident until the old man gets out of the way. In John chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says this, "Verily, verily," remember what I told you this morning about verily, verily? When Jesus uses the term verily, verily, he says, "Hey, pay attention. I'm about to say something very important that you need to catch. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Here's what God's saying. It's like an apple. An apple has a seed in the middle of it. More than one, right, Brother Clint? More than one. And if that, but that seed is in the middle of the apple. Now that seed has life in it. That seed, if it's planted, will create a new tree which will bear fruit. But that seed can't get out of the apple until the apple rots and dies. It can't. It can't be planted. It can't grow. It can't do what it's supposed to do until that apple rots and dies. Now, it's the same with the new man. Until the old man gets out of the way, until the old man dies, the new man can't manifest itself. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Again, he wasn't talking about physical death. He didn't say, I die daily physically. What he was talking about is, I want my old man to die daily. I want the old man that I've had ever since I've been born, that pushes me to do wrong and keeps me from doing right. I want it to die because I know that the new man can't get out. I know that the new man can't emerge. I know that the new man can't control my life until the old man gets out of the way. Now here's what some people, I've seen this. Here's what some people do to apples. They want to keep the apple. So they preserve it. They put shellac on it. And they set it on a shelf as a decoration. Now that's preserving the apple. But I tell you what, the seed that's in that apple will never turn into a tree and will never bear fruit. Sometimes we do that to the old man. We want to keep him. We don't want to let him go. We want to keep him alive. And until that old man, you say, preacher, are you saying that I've got to die physically before the new man can come out and emerge? No. No. What I'm saying is that what we need to say like Paul, I crucify that old man daily. I want him to die. I want the old man to die. I want the new man to come forth. I want the new man to emerge. Paul says, I'm wretched living like this. He said, I just can't stand it. And so I'm going to do my best to crucify that old man and let him die daily so that that new man can come out. So that new man can emerge. I titled my message tonight this, and I waited till the end to tell you. Out with the old, in with the new. Out with the old, in with the new. Let's take the same position that Paul took. I want that old man to die. I want the new man to live. Now it all starts with the new birth. In John chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus talking, remember he's talking to Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, there it is again, three times in one day. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know the conversation that took place, and I'll hurry to get done. You know the conversation that took place that night. Nicodemus says, how can this be? Can an old man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you're a ruler, you're a scholar. Don't you understand? I'm not talking about the things of the earth. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the second birth. That's the new birth that I'm talking about. And we don't get the new man until we experience the new birth. We don't get the new man until we receive Christ as our Savior. And then we get that new man. He doesn't come out until the old man dies. So, let's kick... Now, I'd like to say, let's kick the old man out so the new man can be there. You can't. I wish I could say that, but I don't find any truth in the Bible that leads me to believe that we can do that. We got to live with the old man. He gets to stay. He gets to stay. But as we choose, let's choose the new man. It's like that story I've told you often about the Indian says, there's two dogs living inside of me. There's a black dog that wants me to do wrong, and there's a white dog that wants me to do right. And someone said, well, which one of those dogs wins? And the old Indian said, the one that I say sick 'em to. So let's say sick 'em to the new man. Say sick 'em to the new man and let the old man die. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simple truth that comes from your word.